If you work in SEO right now, here in what, January 2026, you can just feel the mood shift.
Oh, absolutely.
The fundamentals, things like search intent, they still work. They haven't gone away. But those easy wins, the ones we all used to rely on, pumping out good enough pages just to fill a calendar, they're gone. They're disappearing.
Shading fast.
Because now trust signals and actual verifiable experience, that's really the only difference between ranking on page one and just fading into the noise. And what's so fascinating is if you look at the search results today, you see this playing out. Smaller sites, the ones with a really clear point of view and, proof they've done the work, they are punching way above their weight.
Outranking giants in some cases.
Exactly. Meanwhile, you've got these massive organizations with their generic AI content generation at scale, and they're finding it harder and harder to defend that strategy when leadership asks, "So what did we actually get for all that output?"
It's a question a lot of people are asking. So, welcome to the Content Ship Podcast. This is a show about how content actually works today, not how it used to work. We talk about search, AI systems, and the operational side of producing content that survives change. I want to spend this deep dive unpacking this, well, this massive swing we're seeing back toward human credibility. It really feels like the defining theme of 2026. It's not just about keywords anymore. It's about making content strategy choices that survive both Google shifts and this really messy, evolving world of LLM answers. I've asked you to join me to break down the mechanics of this because while everyone says trust is important, very few teams seem to know how to operationalize it. We see a lot of confusion between branding and signals. So I want to start with EAT experience, expertise, authoritativeness, and trustworthiness. For years, this was just treated like a checklist, but that approach seems dead now. How should we be looking at it? You're so right. The checklist approach is completely dead. For a long time, SEOs treated EAT like a form to fill out. Put an author bio up, a link to a LinkedIn profile, maybe add a reviewed by tag, and you're done. But the reality now is that EAT is your public reputation. It is not a set of technical boxes to check. I mean, think about the pattern we're seeing in the SRPs. When Google systems have to choose between two pages that both, technically answer the query, the algorithm leans heavily toward the one that feels experienced and trusted. It's looking for something beyond just good formatting. This is all laid out in Google Search Essentials and the Search Quality Rater
Like the
guidelines.
source material, yeah. The through line is creating content that demonstrates real expertise and crucially serves users, not just algorithms. But here's the aha moment that changes everything. In practice, EAT is an outside validation problem. It's not just an on-page problem. You have to treat it as a distribution problem. A distribution problem. So you mean off-site.
Exactly. If you're just sitting there tweaking your own About Us page, you're missing half the equation. You want other people, other sites confirming your expertise. We're talking about PR, partner mentions, genuine reviews, podcast appearances, conference talks. Because in 2026, what others say about you carries so much more weight than what you say about yourself.
The algorithm's gotten sophisticated enough to understand that web of connections around a brand. If you claim you're an expert, but no other experts are talking about you, well, that claim just falls flat. And this ties directly into one of the most powerful levers we have right now, branded search. Right? For those brutally competitive keywords, exactly. If you're a small or mid-sized company, you might feel like you can't win on those broad terms. But the winners are playing a different game. They're creating demand that looks like brand name plus topic. There's a fantastic case study on this, the Pookie campaign. They didn't just try to rank for some generic lighting term. They pushed brand awareness so hard that people actually started searching for Pookie alongside the product phrase. So they built the association themselves.
They did. And that helped search engines and humans connect the brand to the category. And what happened? The brand started climbing the rankings for the broader non-branded term. So if you're on a smaller team, this is actually great news. You don't need to outpublish the giants. You need to create moments where the market repeats your positioning.
So what's an actionable tactic there?
Pick one priority topic per quarter, just one, and pair it with one demand lever. That could be a product launch, a research report, maybe a webinar with a credible partner. Then you just measure if your branded search volume moves over the next, say, 4 to 8 weeks. You're looking for that lift. That's how you build authority that actually sticks.
And I think it's worth pausing here to just reinforce the psychological shift that's happening. What you're describing, it's really a move away from tricking users and toward respecting how they actually behave.
That's the core of it.
We have to remember that people scan. When you're looking at 10 blue links, your brain is making these split-second decisions on credibility. We aren't just fighting for visibility anymore. We are fighting for the click that signifies trust, the link that signals lived experience, the one that feels like a human is on the other end. That's the one that earns the engagement.
Exactly. It's less about gaming the system and more about aligning with that human desire for authenticity, which leads us right into the mechanics of how we actually capture that trust, the new battleground. Click-through rate, or CTR, specifically how title tags have evolved. Walk us through how the language of the click has changed.
Yeah, this is a pivotal observation. For years, title tags were, you know, just for keywords. You'd stuff the keyword at the front, maybe add the year, and that was it. But now, titles are shifting hard toward personality. We're seeing a massive trend where successful pages are using first-person pronouns, emotional hooks. Can you give an example? Sure. In the past, you might have written a title like Best Keyword Research Tools in 2026. It's fine. It's descriptive, but it's also what everyone else is doing. Today, a title that actually earns the click looks more like the keyword research workflow I actually use for client wins. Okay. Yeah. I see the difference. It's personal. It's personal. You're still matching the query, but you're framing it with a human point of view. It suggests a narrative, a methodology, not just another listicle. But, and this is a huge but, you have to follow one rule. You must pay the promise back.
Oh.
Meaning you have to deliver on what the title says.
You absolutely have to. If your title says, we tested this, your content better have evidence of that testing. If it implies a time frame, like after 2 years, the content needs to have the nuance that only comes from that experience. You can't make that promise and then deliver a generic AI summary. That destroys trust instantly.
Mm-hmm. The user will bounce.
And that negative signal will hurt you. Now, speaking of trust, we have to talk about video. YouTube is no longer optional for SEO. It is a massive trust multiplier. We have data finding that when an AI summary appears, users are actually less likely to click on the traditional results. The click is becoming a scarce resource.
So when you get that visit, you need to make it count.
You need every advantage. Video gives you tone, confidence, credibility that text just can't. But look, I don't want people to panic and think they need to become a film studio. The play here isn't to create video just for volume. The strategy is to take your best performing articles and turn them into simple videos that follow the same intent. Then you embed that video right back into the article.
Okay, so the goal isn't just multimedia for its own sake.
No, the goal is to increase the trust density per page. When a user lands on your page and sees a video of a human explaining the concept, even if they don't watch the whole thing, their perception of the page's quality goes up immediately. It signals you care. It signals this wasn't just auto-generated. That perceived effort is a ranking factor in the minds of users.
That makes sense. Before we move into the reality of AI search and what metrics actually matter in 2026, just a quick reminder. If you're finding this deep dive useful, please consider subscribing, following, or sharing the podcast. It really helps us keep doing this work.
Mm-hmm. Now, I want to pivot us to, well, the elephant in the room. AI, LLMs, and all the panic that surrounds them. We see a lot of teams overreacting right now. There's this rush to optimize for ChatGPT as if it's completely replaced Google. But the best defense is to keep winning in the ecosystem that still sends most of the demand, which is Google, and treat LLM distribution as a measured experiment. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Exactly. There's a really important study that showed conversion rates look wildly different depending on what pages LLMs surface. They found that LLMs often cite and send clicks to mid to bottom funnel pages. So the strategy shouldn't be speculation, it should be segmentation. You need to track LLM referrals separately. Focus your AI experiments on pages that sit close to revenue. So like pricing explainers, comparison pages, that kind of thing.
Precisely. Your onboarding checklists, your implementation guides. These are areas where a single incremental visit from an LLM can actually impact the bottom line. However, with new systems come new attempts to game them. And we are seeing a resurgence of, let's call them black hat LLM tactics. Thin microsites, mass-produced short posts, abusing schema markup.
The same old tricks in a new wrapper. Yeah, and I have to warn you, resist the temptation. These tactics are fragile. We're seeing the same cycle we always see. A loophole opens, people rush in, and then it closes, usually with a penalty. The rule of thumb I always use is this. If you wouldn't be comfortable explaining the tactic to your leadership, it's a liability, not a strategy. That's a good rule. Instead, invest in assets that compound. Original research, unique visuals, real comparisons. These are the signals that survive model changes because they're grounded in reality, not technical tricks. Which leads to a core philosophy for 2026. Sameness is the enemy.
Human content outperforms AI content when and only when contains what AI can't fake. If your page is just a rephrased version of the top three results, why should Google rank you? Differentiation comes from showing decision criteria, not just options. It comes from stating what fails in the real world, what you wouldn't do again. That kind of knowledge is incredibly valuable. And you have to add proof screenshots, specific data.
And what about the tools themselves?
Well, that brings us to tool governance. In 2026, AI tools are being judged on renewals, not demos. The honeymoon phase is over. Leadership is asking, did this tool move organic traffic? Did it help build pipeline? And measuring that is getting harder, but also more honest. We have to focus on metrics that reflect reality, not just vanity metrics.
That is such a crucial point. It really brings us back to the core mission here. The internet in 2026 is just, well, it's tired of empty volume. Algorithms spot it. And more importantly, people ignore it.
They just scroll right past it.
So let's summarize what we've unpacked. It all points in the same direction. Here are the four key takeaways. First, remember that EET is a distribution problem. You have to build social proof offsite. You need other experts validating you.
That's number one.
Second, branded search is your lever. Focus on a small number of topics you can truly own and use campaigns to drive searches for your brand plus topic.
The shortcut to authority.
Third, win the CTR battle with humanity. Use title tags that promise a personal experience and then pay that promise back. And use video to increase the trust density of your pages.
Mm-hmm.
And fourth, treat LLM optimization as measured experimentation. Don't panic. Focus on the pages that drive revenue, track referrals separately, and please avoid the black hat shortcuts that will eventually break.
Absolutely.
I want to leave you with one final thought. The clearest theme of 2026 is that human credibility is the compounding advantage. The goal for your team shouldn't just be to publish faster. The goal is to make quality standards enforceable so that publish faster doesn't quietly become publish weaker.
To learn more about governed workflows that can help you boost rankings and conversions, or to subscribe for future deep dives, visit www.contentship.io.